the San Francisco Giants, who announced a little bit ago that Landon Roop, right-handed pitcher, who's been great for the Giants so far this year, is headed to the 15-day IL with right elbow inflammation, and Tristan Beck has been recalled. Maybe Beck is going to be the starting pitcher that takes either Birdsong or Roop's spot. That is to be determined. Bob Melvin going to speak at about 4:30. Whenever we get an update from Bob Melvin, we will pass it along to you. I would imagine we will have a much better idea of the Giants' plan for their starting pitching spots, specifically Sunday and Monday, because Webb goes tonight, Robbie Ray goes tomorrow. It's open Sunday, it's open Monday, it's technically still open Tuesday. Tuesday will very likely be Verlander, although they could move Verlander up a day to Monday because they had yesterday off, and that would be a normal rest period for Verlander, but that would make Tuesday the question. So they have two question marks to fill, and we'll see how they do it. Bob Melvin might let us know. But let me ask you this, Dibs, because we've been talking a lot about potential innings limits for Birdsong and Roop. Right. Birdsong now kind of goes to the back burner because he's no longer with the big league club. But Roop is six innings away from setting or tying a career-high innings pitched in a single professional season. Do you feel like this right elbow inflammation is any coincidence, or this is related to the fact that he's using that right arm as much as he ever has as a big leaguer, as a pro?
My instinct would be that it is related, but then I just did a quick Googleage during the break with Landon Roop and elbow issues, and last year he had a capsule sprain in the right elbow, which is a little bit of a different injury than this, but it was in the elbow nonetheless. And he was actually quoted, Landon Roop, saying, "I don't know what that is or if there's even a capsule in your elbow, but that's what they told me." It happened in May when he threw a curveball in Sacramento in a AAA game, and he had it crop up a little bit when he rehabbed, and then he came back about a month later, and he pitched for San Francisco last year, and he went on to have a small handful of starts, and he pitched well enough, and Bob Melvin actually really liked the way he was throwing it last year, and so this is a different injury, it seems, but it's the same elbow, so that becomes, for me, a little bit more troubling, and I don't know if the, you know, the elbow soreness is going to be related to what the capsule sprain was back in, you know, last May, 14 months ago, but this now becomes a second elbow issue that's going to afflict Landon Roop.
Yeah, just to give people an idea of how scary these elbow issues are for pitchers, and again, specifically the throwing elbow, right hand of the right elbow, left hand of the left elbow. You know, Gerrit Cole, who we were talking about earlier this week, I think has the fourth most active wins among any pitcher in baseball. He's missing the whole year because of Tommy John surgery, but this popped up relatively early in spring training, and it was initially just described, Dibs, as elbow discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was called. He's experiencing some right elbow discomfort, and then suddenly it's he's getting Tommy John surgery. His season is over. So, like, these things change quick, and just because it's being called one thing now does not mean that that Tommy John might not be necessary in the future.
It's true, and I would imagine when you have this and it prompts them to put you on the 15-day injured list, there's a 10-day injured list, and there's also a 15, and so the fact that he's been put on the 15 a couple of days after his start. You mentioned that he started Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Landon Roop Tuesday, correct.
So you start Tuesday, and we had him on the show, and I actually asked him about what goes on in between your starts. And Wednesday, I don't go out. It's just a massage day. And then Thursday, you start to get back to it. You work out. Friday, you throw a little bit. So if you go through the Landon Roop post-start work, maybe Wednesday, he's getting the massage and the elbow's not feeling great. And by the time you get to Thursday and then today, as he's trying to, you know, ramp back up to his next start and the elbow still is a problem and you talk to the trainer, well, now it's going to be X-ray and MRI time. And so we may have results sooner rather than later on exactly what the imaging shows is going wrong.
Yeah, and speaking of Landon Roop being on the show, he came on with you and Willard on the 8th of July. So what, we're talking about 2.5 weeks ago?
Yep.
And you guys asked him about a potential innings limit, or maybe you guys didn't even say limit. You just brought up the fact that he's approaching a career high for innings thrown as a professional. And here's what he said about that. Here's Landon Roop, again, about 2.5 weeks ago on his innings getting close to a career high.
Yeah, that's been a popular question as of recently. But as far as I know, we have not talked about it at all. At least it hasn't been brought up to me. So my plan is to, you know, stay healthy, get in the training room, get in the weight room, work out, and just stay healthy and be able to go out there every fifth day and help these guys and our team get to a playoff.
All right, so there's Landon Roop 2.5 weeks ago.
And that was on the 8th, you're saying?
The 8th.
And the 7th, he went 5 innings, gave up 1 earned, scattered 4 hits, and the Giants got the win. He didn't get the win, but they won 3-1. Then he pitched well against the Dodgers, gave up 1 run over 6, and then the last outing against Atlanta, no runs, 4 hits in 5. So he still has been rock solid, not going deep into games, but clearly coming out of that game on Tuesday, there was some level of discomfort.
Yeah. So there's no way to sell this as good news for the Giants. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a disaster. Doesn't mean he's going to miss the rest of the year. I'm not saying that, but these things can very quickly devolve for pitchers, and this is scary. I'll put it that way. I think that the correct way to describe it right now, Dibs, is just scary, because you're just waiting to see ultimately if just some time off is going to fix it or not. But oftentimes you have pitchers who deal with this right elbow discomfort, inflammation, whatever it is. They sit out for a while. They try to go out again, and then, you know, they throw one pitch and pop.
Yep.
Something bad happens again. Now it's even worse.
Yeah, and I think this will be a classic case of no news is good news. I would imagine that if they haven't done the imaging, they'll do it today, x-ray, MRI. And if it is something that's really not good, then you're going to get the dreaded phrase of second opinion. And in this case, maybe it's Dr. Neil Elatrache down in L.A., or I think Frank Jobe is another one of these surgeons where when you have an athlete looking for that second opinion, now you're going to fly and go see one of the experts in Tommy John surgery. So no news would be good news. Hopefully you quiet it down, and in a couple of weeks he's able to maybe make a rehab start in San Jose or a couple of bullpens, and by mid-August, he's able to get back out there on the bump.
Yeah, the translation for that, we're seeking a second opinion, means the first opinion we got really sucks, and we hope that it's wrong.
Right. And usually, I think that when you get a second opinion, a lot of times it's not that different from the first, so you're right, where and a lot of times when you go to Dr. Neil Elatrache down in L.A., your second opinion is, hey, I want you to be the one to cut on me. It's not as much as, hey, please tell me that the first guy was a quack and he didn't get it right.
But generally, if you're seeking a second opinion, it's not because you got good news on the first opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you ever would. Like, you go to a doctor, it's like, you're fine. You know what, doc? I need to get a second opinion. I want some bad news in my life.
You know what? This is actually confirmation bias, and I'm ahead of the curve, and I'm going to make sure that you're right here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so news would be good news. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying that if he had an MRI today that we'll get the information, but Bob Melvin will be speaking in the dugout to the gaggle of reporters
in about an hour.
Hopefully he doesn't say anything definitive. He just says, yeah, you know, he's feeling something in there, and we're going to give him a couple of weeks, and, you know, we'll figure out what we're going to do on Sunday come Sunday.
Yeah, there's two different angles to this. It's, all right, just what is happening with Roop's elbow, and then it's what the hell are you going to do with the starting pitching staff, because now you've got two big holes. And one of your other starting pitchers is Verlander, who just got his first win on his 17th start of the season. So, Bob, what the hell is the plan? Maybe that's more of a question for Buster Posey. How do you think, Dibs, this changes, if it changes at all, how Buster Posey is thinking about the trade deadline? Because you and I both have felt all week, and we've talked about it a good amount, I don't know how they have the firepower to go out and really make a trade other than, you know, a back end of the rotation, a guy who's maybe made a handful of starts this year, but has kind of been in and out. Maybe it's a long reliever, but he has started in the past. He started maybe 7 games this year, but, you know, a piece that is not your normal prototypical top end of the rotation. Maybe there's something like that. Do you think this news is big enough to change the way Buster is potentially thinking about attacking the deadline, which is less than 6 days away now?
I do think so, but I still would believe that he's not going to go out there and try to bring in one of the big marquee starting pitchers. this might motivate him to go out and find just an arm, a starter. I'm looking at what they have right now on their active roster among pitchers who have started a game this year. And outside of Webb, Ray, and Verlander, the other guys to start, Roop was hurt, Hicks is gone, Harrison is gone, Birdsong is down.
And also can't get an out anyway.
So. Sean Jelly, one start this year. He's got a 7.71 ERA. So I think that Tristan Beck likely gets slotted into one of those openings, and maybe you recall Mason Black, who's only pitched four innings in the bigs this year, but as you start to look at the back end of your rotation, you may just go out and find another back end of the rotation veteran, somebody who's done it more than Jelly, Beck, Black, Wizenhunt. But I don't think that you're going to be in the market for one of those really, really top, top guys.
What is – I want to find this. Wizenhunt's numbers so far this year, because I took Fleming's words for it.
Yeah, I got it right here. He's got a 4.42 ERA, and he's had 18 starts. He's given up 102 hits in 97 innings. Not bad. He has walked 28 in 97, and he has struck out 86. So his walks, his whip, is 1.33. In a hitter-friendly league, that's not terrible. The ERA is 4.42. You'd like that to be a little bit better. And he's pitching over 18 games. He's pitching about five innings a game, a little bit more than five a game. So hitters are hitting 273 against him. He's been okay, but he hasn't been so good that you have to absolutely bring him up. But you look at the rest of their starters, Carson Seymour would probably be the most likely candidate based on how he pitched in Sacramento.
Yeah, and he's the guy that's already up here right now. He pitched in Atlanta.
Yep.
Once they sent Birdsong down, they also sent Beck down. Beck has since been recalled when Roop went on the IL today, but they sent Beck down. They sent Birdsong down. They recalled Seymour and also Jelly.
Yep.
And now those two are both up here. Maybe you see one of those, two of those guys go back down to get fresh arms back up here. We shall see. But I'm with you in terms of keeping an eye on the starting pitching plans in Sacramento. That might tell the story of how the Giants planned this one out in addition to Beck. We do have a starting lineup for tonight's game for the San Francisco Giants. It's Giants and Mets. 7:15 first pitch, Logan Webb versus Clay Holmes, a right-handed pitcher for the Mets. The Giants go like this. Ramos is leading off. Devers at first base, first time at first, at Oracle Park for Devers. Then Adames, 1-2-3. Middle third of the order is Chapman at third, Yastrzemski in right, Flores DHing, then 7-8-9, Jung-Hoo Lee in center, Casey Schmidt at second, and Patrick Bailey catching. So not really any surprises there for the Giants offensively, and with Logan Webb on the bump, no matter what the questions, the concern is for the rest of the pitching staff, this is the game and a really important series. You've got Logan Webb and essentially your normal full starting lineup. This is a game the Giants should go out there and win today.
These are the ones you need to start clocking as wins, and it's really about winning series. And I was looking at the historical results of the wild card in the 3 years since they went to three wild cards in each league. And the average wins in the National League is right about 85. And if you look at the pace, the Padres right now are on exact pace to be that kind of team. And the Giants are just one game back of San Diego for the third wild card. So if you look at the Giants, you're thinking about 85 wins as a number that you absolutely have to get to. Anything above 85, I think, really increases your chances of being a wild card. But you start to backdate it from the end of the year to now, and you figure out how do you get to 85 wins, and you got to win two out of three, especially when you have these home series, even though it's a good team you're facing.
Yeah, good team in the Mets. You got Mets, then Pirates at home, and then you go Mets and Pirates on the road. Kind of an interesting part of the Giants' schedule, and you're going to have to figure out what you do with the trade deadline before you head out to New York and take on the Mets beginning a week from now, because the trade deadline is Thursday at 3 Pacific, which means you and Willard will be on the air when the trade deadline comes and goes, and that maybe we get some news right around then. Maybe we get news before then. Maybe we get news this weekend. Maybe we get news at any point during the week before the trade deadline, but we shall see. I don't know, Dibs. I am in a situation where I really do believe in big chunks of this Giants team, but with all the concerns of the starting pitching, I am not so sure that this is a team that Buster Posey feels confident doing anything beyond, as you talked about, the back end, a small piece here and there, a classic Farhan improving on the margins move, which maybe is going to frustrate a lot of people, and I don't blame you if you feel that way. When, if anything happens, it's a smaller scale deal. I just don't see a way, Dibs, where they have the firepower to trade away anything that other teams would be willing to accept to part with a valued piece. I just don't see a way in which that happens. Like, I saw Zach Manassian, general manager for the Giants, talking earlier this week, and he essentially said, when asked if he viewed Bryce Eldridge as untouchable, and he said something along the lines of, I don't view anybody as untouchable. We'll listen to everything, but that seems very unlikely that he would be moved. I think he's just saying that, you know, knowing, hint, hint, wink, wink, we're not going to trade Bryce Eldridge. I think that's the same way they feel about Carson Wisenhunt. And if you're not trading those dudes, unless you're trading a valuable piece from the big league squad, I don't see how you're getting anything that is near the top of this trade deadline market.
And I wonder about trading something from the big league club, what really has great value that you'd be willing to part with. And I think about Randy Rodriguez, who, yeah, a team would love to have him. He's 2 years away from his first arbitration eligibility, and he throws 102. I think you want to keep him. Nobody hits him. His ERA is right about one or lower. And your closer is at times meteoric, but he's your closer. And Frisbee guy, Tyler Rogers, has been unbelievably effective, and Walker. And so you have the best bullpen in baseball. You're not breaking that up. You just spent some real capital to bring in Rafi Devers. You're not trading him. You're not trading Adames, who is absolutely molten lava right now. I just don't know what on the big club you could actually part with. And then you mentioned the farm. I don't think you're going to trade any of your major league ready guys. And I'm looking at, you know, Johnny Level is their number four prospect, and he's 18 years old, and he's playing rookie ball. He's estimated to arrive in 2029. Is that going to be enough to bring in Zach Gallen, or, you know, bring in Alcantara or another one of these top pitchers? You just don't have the assets in the minors that you want to part with.
Yeah, maybe you do. Maybe one of those teams would say, yeah, Johnny Level, we love the guy. We were in on him when you got him or whatever. And yeah, we'll get that done. It's less about potentially Dibs having guys that other teams are interested in. That's part of it. But it's also then like, okay, are we comfortable giving him up knowing that we have so little elsewhere? And that's why, like I said this earlier in the week, I'll say it again, the biggest sin of the Farhan era wasn't what they did at the big league level. It was that he left, and over the course of his however many years he was here, 5 or 6 years, the farm system got worse. Like, it's one thing if the big league squad is middling and it's 500. Like, okay, that's frustrating, and I got very upset multiple years as a result of the big league club. But if he left and suddenly the Giants farm system went from a bottom five farm system to a top 10 farm system, that is the lifeblood of a squad. And then the Giants would be able to say, all right, we'll give you our seventh best prospect because he's still in the top 100. Meanwhile, the Giants right now have one top 100 prospect in baseball. It's Bryce Eldridge. That's it. So you should feel so much less capable of giving somebody up that is valuable to you because you have so few other people to turn to in the first place.
And that is a part of the problem when you're looking to deal. And, you know, you did give up your number one pick from the last draft class, James Tibbs.
Yeah.
And so that was a big asset that you'd like to think that you had. And he may turn out to be a really good player. I know he's already been elevated to Double A, but that was a piece that Boston obviously liked. And so he was a part of the Rafi Devers move. But beyond that, you don't have a lot of highly sought after prospects. And even if you did, to get one of these real big boy pitchers, would you have to trade two of your top prospects and maybe a couple of middling guys just to get a possible rental? I don't see Buster in this part of the run, I don't see them acting out of that level of desperation.
Yeah, me neither. We'll see. The news for the Giants today is Landon Roop headed to the IL, the 15-day IL with right elbow inflammation.